Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Chapel Views, the sermon podcast from Woodlawn Chapel Presbyterian Church in Wildwood, Missouri. I am Chris Keating, and I am privileged to serve as pastor of this wonderful congregation. If you're new to us, please visit woodlawnchapel.com or find us on Facebook so that you can keep up to date as to what is happening in the life of this wonderful church. Today is Monday, the 21st of December, and our podcast today is entitled Waiting in Peace. It is the sermon from the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the scripture reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, often called the Annunciation of Jesus to Mary. It is the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Mary. Wonderful story of Advent that stirs our imagination around understandings of what it means to trust. Hear now the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Last Christmas, our children gave us a video doorbell, you know, the kind that allows you to see who is at the front door and to speak with them before you even open the door. It was a great gift, but there was a little bit of a problem. When our son Dean installed it, he configured it to send alerts to everyone's cell phones except his mother's and mine. This gave our other children the advantage of knowing who was at our front door even when we were not home, including the time when someone phoned in a Girl Scout cookie order from out of state because they just happened to see that it was a Girl Scout ringing the doorbell. It makes me wonder what would have happened if Mary had a video doorbell. Would it have been the case that instead of saying, "Here I am," she might have said, "Who is it?" and sent them away? Mary had no advance knowledge that it was an angel standing at her door. Instead, as the story goes, Mary is called to receive this angelic message of peace, and not only to receive it, but to trust in it. Now imagine being awakened at night by a cell phone alert, only to spot what could be charitably called an odd-looking stranger at your front door. You know, the wings and the white appearance of an angel. Like any of us, Mary would have been hyperventilating in panic, frantic, because according to her calendar, she had no appointments with angels that day. Do you think she would have opened the door? But angels, unlike pizza delivery drivers or UPS deliveries, do not ring doorbells. They do not knock at your front door, and they do not announce themselves politely. That seems to be the general principle all across Scripture. Angels are God's messengers, but we might as well call them God's disruptive messengers because they have the habit of interrupting whatever else is happening. Angels do not tap politely at the door, but instead barge straight into your life, often sending your well-crafted plans flying through the air, well, like angels. In a similar way, God is moving close to Mary. And when angels show up, in that move of getting close, they invite us to trust in what always seems impossible. It is no secret that trust, or the lack of it, has become a singular issue in our culture. For example, 2/3 of Americans surveyed before the pandemic that in 2019, they distrust the government and its ability to solve problems. In another survey before the pandemic, 83% of employees worldwide feared losing their jobs to a different set of reasons. A number of reasons, actually. They did not trust their corporation. And it is well documented that trust in the basic institutions of society, government, media, even nonprofits and businesses continues to slide. And it is further interesting that it is celebrities, not leaders from religion, ethics, government, military, or science. It is celebrities who are among the most trusted persons in the world. It seems as though angels don't stand a chance in our world compared to a celebrity along the lines of Tom Hanks or Meryl Streep, two persons often cited as the most trusted individuals in the United States today. Yet the story of our faith centers around trusting in God's message of peace. And it is a message that reaches across eons, touching the arm of a young girl who has every reason to walk away from that angel on her doorstep. And it's by the light of the fourth candle of Advent that we recall we are waiting for this same message of peace. And this year, the wait seems especially long. Gabriel intrudes, and he says to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." It is an amazing greeting, an astonishing greeting. It invites Mary to reach out and place her whole self in the God who is reaching toward her. There is a new and remarkable television series on Netflix that is called The Surgeon's Cut. It is a British documentary that features stories of four astonishing doctors. Among the doctors profiled is a fetal medicine expert, a pioneer in the field of performing life-saving surgery in utero. He goes in and saves babies prior to birth. In each procedure, this doctor places the mother's arm in his hands. He draws her close to her that the arm of the instrument in surgery would be guided not only by him, but attached also to the mother. It invites her to trust in what he is doing, and as he says, it is the mother's touch that is conveyed in these surgeries. He is telling them, "You will be with me." Now, in a similar way, God is moving toward Mary through the words of Gabriel. The Lord is with you. But trusting God is not always easy. In an earlier story, we have heard that Mary's cousin Elizabeth, her husband Zechariah, has also been visited by the angel Gabriel. Zechariah is also told that he has found favor with God, and that God has answered the prayer that he and his wife had long ago believed would never happen. They will soon be parents. There will be a miraculous pregnancy. But unlike Mary, Zechariah finds it hard to believe. Even though he is in the holiest of places, serving as a temple servant, the message from God seems out of place. Now, Mary, on the other hand, is not in the sanctuary, and also she is not a woman of any particular significance. Theologian Renita Weems helpfully writes that Mary would have found the words of Gabriel odd and perhaps even alarming. The favored girls, Weems notes, were not the girls from small towns like Nazareth. This was a greeting reserved for those of a nobler status, those who had a pedigree, not a young unmarried girl from a backwater village like Nazareth. Nazareth, it's code for the other side of the tracks. In John's gospel, the earliest followers of Jesus found it even hard to believe that anything good can come from Nazareth. And those are the words that Mary has been hearing her whole life, and she has internalized them. So why should she now believe that she is the favored one of God? "Do not be afraid," says Gabriel. "You have found favor with God." In this awkward moment, Mary's confusion deepens as Gabriel repeats his message, this time adding the classic angelic introduction, "Do not be afraid." As someone has said, the best time to be afraid is that moment when an angel shows up and suddenly says to you, "Do not be afraid." Mary looks into the holy, mysterious presence of this unknown visitor, unlike anything she has ever heard or seen before. She wonders, and she is confused, bewildered. What does it mean to trust in this message? Indeed, what does it mean for any of us to trust in God's message of peace? God is clear, "I am with you." And yet we have many reasons not to trust. We send angels away. We shut out God's invitation. We're not even sure that we're going to trust a vaccine. Creating bonds of trust is necessary work, but it is complicated and never as easy as it sounds. Frankly, we frequently yield to the temptation to shut out strangers. We push against messages that call us toward deeper trust, either out of a fear or perhaps a hesitancy that their message might be calling us away from our settled and well-ordered lives into a new chaos that we can hardly understand or begin to make sense of. In our world, in our experience, trust erodes more quickly than sandcastles on a beach at high tide and builds more slowly than a medieval cathedral. In this moment, though, Mary does not close the door on this angel standing before her. Now, perhaps she is scared, unable to move. And yet there is also something about the angel's words that prompts her, intrigues her. The angel's words dance in her mind. "Your son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Clearly, Gabriel sees in Mary potential that she has not even seen in herself. And so in response, Mary blurts out, "How can this be?" Some see this as nothing more than her confusion played out in a larger vocalized manner, but others suggest that her response is from a place of an amazing stronghold of faith and perhaps even a little bit of protest. Mary, you know, would have been well aware of the stigma attached to an unmarried pregnancy. She knows that the whispers will follow her, that Joseph will be dishonored. He may even face legal penalties. They will pay dearly for all of this. How can this be? She demands of Gabriel. That is the question that sticks with us. And as someone who has taught this passage to several generations of inquisitive and well-taught, curious middle school students in the past, the question of Mary's virginity is only one of the questions about how these things will happen. Nothing is impossible with God. That is the summons that Gabriel offers to Mary, an invitation to believe that God is a God of the possible in the face of the impossible. The story in our Christmas preparations is a reminder that when unexpected messengers from God show up on our doorstep, we might well want to consider listening to what they have to say. Watch, Mary does not shut the door. She is instead only concerned about the logistics. How can this be? But Gabriel is not sent on some sort of recruiting mission. Instead, he has been summoned to help Mary trust in what seems impossible and complex, and beyond anything she could have ever imagined. Mary becomes the first person in the gospel to trust in the good news. God is with us. A more sensible person might just have said, nope, no way, I'm not going to go there. Again, to quote Renita Weems, that's, she says, certainly what you and I would have said had an angel intercepted us with harrowing news that God had decided to interrupt our best laid plans. It was, says Weems, a message that would have found her in good company. Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them pushed back when God called. But Mary places her trust in the one who says to her, I am with you. Her arm is connected to God. She trusts. You know, there are many reasons why we might not trust in the promise of God's peace, yet the old, old story that we hear at Christmas and beyond is a story of God's steadfast love shining through the willingness of people like Mary to yield themselves to God and to believe these words that are so essential and so beautiful. Nothing will be impossible with God. Amen, and may God go with you on your week. Please join us for Christmas Eve worship that will be released on Facebook and YouTube at 5 p.m. on December 24th. Have a great week, and Merry Christmas to all.